Okay, we're on page 1058. Last week we didn't learn it was Shavuos. 2 weeks ago we were discussing, I think we got off, and discussing about, because the Pasuk here is speaking about marriage and divorce, Kiddushin and Gittin. And we're discussing that, I think we discussed this 2 weeks ago about if the chuppah is not kosher, then you don't have a get, right? Or you do get a get, but it's not that important. Yeah?
No.
You didn't say that.
Yeah, we didn't talk about that. We didn't get there yet. No. You did?
You did. I didn't.
I didn't.
We didn't talk about the chuppah.
Not.
If the rabbi was reform or, I think. We're talking about
Edim. What we're talking about is, we're with Edim. Yeah. And we said that by Kedushin, the witnesses are not there to verify that it happened. They're there to make it happen. Because, like we said, if a man says, somebody owes $1,000, okay, and they both agree, they owe $1,000, you don't need witnesses to testify that he owes $1,000. They obviously agree, there's no problem. But the Gemara says, what happens if a guy and a woman walk into a room alone, with no witnesses, nobody there, the man gives the girl a ring, says, they walk out of the room, they both agree that it happened, the din is, it's not a valid kedushin at all. Why not? Because there are no witnesses. So in order to validate, in other words, it's not to verify that the kedushin took place, because like we said, if everybody agrees, why do you need to have a birur? Why do you need a verification? Everybody agrees. So the reason is because the Edim are part of the actual Kedushin. And therefore, the witnesses have to be kosher. Now, we're also talking about, the Pasuk itself says, you marry a woman, you don't like her, you divorce her, and then that whole story. So before we go further, the issue is like this. Once somebody has a valid Kedushin, even without a chuppah, but they just even had the Kedushin, she's what's called a complete Eishes Ish. She's completely bound to the guy. She can't live with her husband because she didn't get married yet. But the Kedushin, the Eidus in itself, binds her. If she commits adultery, she gets killed. The guy that she committed adultery with gets killed, and so on and so forth. What?
Are the men also bonded, or just the girls bonded? If you...
The women are supposed to be asking that question, not the men.
Yeah, that's just... It's not... It should be fair deal.
Can a man have a number of wives?
Yeah.
So is he bound by one wife?
Yeah,
or can he have another one?
Yeah, he can do it.
Can have another one. Not anymore, but before him, there been a Gershom. Right? Or the Sfardim kept it even until fairly recent. Now they don't do it officially. But they kept it until recently. But the woman can't have many husbands.
Yeah.
Okay? Part of the issue that happened at the Chet Eitz Hadas was, well, Ishech Shukoseich William Shobach, the man takes the woman. Because in fact it says here, Ki Yikach Ishisha, if a man will take a woman. The mitzvah of Pruervu, the first mitzvah in the Torah, Pruervu Milo Sa'aris Yechevshua, is to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and capture it. So the Gemara says that women are not mechuyev in the mitzvah itself of Pruervu. The mitzvah of Pruervu is a mitzvah on the man. Women have, there's another pasuk, not in Chumash, but in Nach, that says, Lo leteil bara elo l'shavis yitzara. The world was not created to be empty. The world was created to be populated. That applies to a woman also. But a woman is not mechuyev in the mitzvah of Pruervu. Why not? Because the Torah says, Pruervu, umilosar, vichivshu, and conquer it. And the Gemara says, Ish darke lichpesh, a man conquers, right. Not in Israel today. Yeah. But men went to battle, women didn't go to battle, women weren't soldiers. So therefore, the fact that the Torah says, Pruervu, to fill the earth, vichivshu, the Gemara says it only applies to a man. Therefore, the mitzvah, ki yikach ish isha, because of the Chet Eitz Hadas, whatever it is, the man takes the woman. Therefore, the woman cannot have a second husband, unless if the first husband dies or divorces her, like we're learning. Now, what happens if somebody gets married, and they don't have a get, and then they marry somebody else, and they have children from the second wife? correct? Very, in today's day?
Possible.
60% of the time it happens, right? They get divorced, and then they marry somebody else and have more children. Now, if they didn't have a get, so technically the kids are mamzeidim. Because if they didn't get a get, she's still an eishes ish. Correct? She's still a married woman. You don't just say, married woman got out and that's it, they're divorced. Instead, it doesn't work like that. According to Halacha, before Matan Torah, by the way, the Rambam says, before Matan Torah, what happened was, a man liked a woman, he took her home, she became his wife. They didn't want each other anymore, they just left. There was no concept of a get. Once Matan Torah happened, then the dinim of gitin applied, and the get applies, and so on. Now, by the way, Derech Agav, that only applies if two Jews are married. What happens if a man was married to a non-Jewish woman, right? Mm-hmm. Or a Jewish woman was married to a non-Jewish man?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no dinim of a get. Let's say, you have a lot of times, a woman was married to a non-Jewish guy, then they became Baal Tshuva, mm-hmm. So they divorced, whatever you want to call it, and now she's marrying a Jewish guy. She never got a get.
But she doesn't need it.
But she doesn't need a get. Why doesn't she need a get? Because between a Jew and a non-Jew, there is no marriage. There's no marriage that needs a get. By the way, between non-Jew and non-Jew, one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach is adultery, which is eish es ish, right? So how does it work?
They have a mitzvah to commit adultery, not to.
Yeah, the mitzvah is to commit adultery.
One
second. So over there, a non-Jew and a non-Jew need some type of a divorce. According to the seven, they don't need a kosher get. According to seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach, if two goyim get married, so according to Torah, they're married, and she's an eishes ish, right? Otherwise, you can't have eishes ish by a goy. So then, if they get divorced, as long as they have what's called a civil divorce, so then in Torah law they're considered divorced. But by a Jew and a goy, there's no marriage of chatchila. So therefore, she doesn't need a get from the goy to marry another Jew, or the Jew doesn't need a get to marry. Okay.
How about a Jew and his concubine? In the Torah time.
We're not talking about concubines now. We did that already.
He likes the subject.
I know, that's why I don't want to talk about it. Okay, anyway, one second. So now the question is like this. This is a very practical thing. This is a very big problem in today's Jewish world. Two non-religious people are married. They don't get a get. She remarries somebody else. They have kids. Are those kids mamzeidim or not?
No.
So, why no?
Because not kosher wedding.
Oh, so the answer is, Eishesish that creates a mamzer is only if she's a halachic married woman. But if there are no kosher witnesses, now explain what that means, if there are never kosher witnesses, and I must add, they never lived in a religious community that knew them as husband and wife,
so
even though l'chatchila they need to get a get, l'chatchila they were married, they need to get a get, but b'di'evet, if it was not a kosher chuppah, meaning the witnesses were not kosher, so then they're never married, so then b'di'evet, if she married somebody else without a get, the kids are not going to be mamzeidim. Okay, that's the way it works. And therefore the question that people get a lot of times, and generally speaking, the way it works is like this. If they hear a conservative rabbi, a reform rabbi, again, Chabad doesn't like to label names, but for clarification, if a conservative reform rabbi did a wedding, we can assume the witnesses were not kosher. They're not Shemesh Shabbos. There are many times they use women and brothers and sisters and uncles and fathers and family, which is not kosher. So then, Al Pidin, it's not a kosher wedding. But what happens if they have a relative over there that says, you know what, let me at least have them kosher witnesses. A conservative reform rabbi is going to do the wedding, but you know what, let me make it a little bit more better, like they say in yeshiva. Let me make it a little bit better, and I'll get them kosher witnesses. That's not always an advantage. It's really a disadvantage. Why? Because if they have two kosher witnesses, then the wedding is kosher. Correct? Now, if in the non-frum world, 50-60% of people get divorced, and then she's going to remarry, and a rav will hear that she was married by a conservative rabbi, they're going to assume the wedding wasn't kosher. But in this case, the wedding was kosher, because Yehudit did have kosher witnesses. So in that case, it would be better to make sure that they don't have kosher witnesses. Unless you will make a kosher...
A married man sleeps with a non-Jew. Can he get back?
You could do a Pinchas story and kill him.
And then can he get back to his wife?
If a man lived...
Fooling around
with another woman? Yeah. Yeah, but if a woman fooled around...
No.
This religion is terrible.
Every for me.
What?
All you need is two kosher witnesses.
Right.
Yep.
What if they didn't exchange ring? What if?
Obviously, if every wedding they give a ring.
What if the ring was? I mean, if
the ring shava pruta. How much is pruta? Doesn't matter. The kedusha makes her an eishes ish.
And kesuba.
Ksuba has nothing to do with the chuppah. Ksuba is a financial responsibility that the husband has to the wife. The only reason they read the chuppah under the chuppah, there's only one reason only. To make a break between part one and part two. Years ago we learned they used to do kedushin, edison, and 12 months later they got married. Now we do it all together. Under the chuppah we do the kedushin and the nisuin. So to make a break between part A and part B, so how do you make a break? So you read the ksuba. That's the only reason you read the ksuba. There's no reason to be read under the chuppah. It's a private financial obligation from the husband to the wife. It's read pleasure to make a break. That's all.
Rabbi,
what?
What's the status of the couple after the, what do they call it, vort, whenever they break the plate?
Nothing.
What's the meaning of that? What is it?
Okay, that's not for now. If we get later.
Rabbi, Rabbi for the chuppah is the ladies, reformed ladies.
No.
If two kosher witnesses, the audition is wedding is.
It doesn't matter if a lady is the rabbi.
Yeah.
If a man gives something that's worth a pruta, to a woman in front of two kosher witnesses and says areyat mekudeshesli, she is an eishes ish.
So the wedding, it depends on the two witnesses.
That's why it's a question.
The most important people at a wedding ceremony are the two kosher witnesses. They make it. They make it or break it. All the getting the brachas and the ksub, all those honors, really, are nothing compared to the honor of being an aide, because the aide make it happen. But
if two kosher witnesses are around, but are not, they are not conscious of what's going on. A guy giving.
No, they have to watch it. That's why you designate the witnesses. They have to see it for the purpose of being a witness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. Of course they need to see it. And they need to.
But it just happens that they see it.
No, they have to have in mind to testify. Okay, so let's go like this. So we learned, let's type Perich of Dalit again. Again, this we learned, but page 1058, fourth line, Perich of Dalit, Pasuk Aleph. If a man will take a woman and has relations with her, meaning he marries her, if he doesn't find favor in his eyes, we learned the three opinions, remember Rabbi Kiva, that everybody remembers that. And he has to write a book of separation, a bill of divorce, and it has to be a book, meaning a sefer has to be written, it has to be a book that separates and cuts them completely off. Nasim b'yadi gives it to her hand v'sholchem ibeis. So this is one passage that says marriage and divorce in the same sentence. The guy marries a woman, doesn't like it, and he divorces her. Okay, now what happens? V'yatzim ibeis, she leaves him. V'holcha v'haisili ishachet. And then she marries somebody else. Okay, it's a very simple case. A man married a woman, divorced her. She goes ahead and now marries another. All proper get. She goes marries another man.
Same time? Everything happened at the same time?
Not same day.
No, they had to have a divorce party. The caterer had to make some money. Have divorce then parties
you say
today.
The way you say that.
100 days or
something that they. 92 days.
92 days.
Okay, 1 second. And then she marries somebody else. Okay, simple case. A woman was divorced. She wanted to marry somebody else. And the second man also doesn't like her. And now he, the second husband, also writes her a get. And he sends her out of his house. Or, the second husband dies. You know, she was married, divorced, married a second guy, the guy died, so now she's a widow. Who took her as a wife. The first husband cannot remarry her. In other words, once a woman is married, divorced, so if she doesn't marry anybody else, in fact, there's a mitzvah, it was called, what's it called? My brain doesn't work. Machzor Gerushosei. In fact, according to many poskim, it's a mitzvah to be Machzor Gerushosei, to remarry the one that you divorced. But what happens if she married somebody else and the second husband divorced her or died? Then she's not allowed to go back to the first husband. And by the way, the poskim write, I'm not saying this should be done, but what happens if the woman didn't get married to a second guy, but she fooled around with people? She can go back to the first husband. The Torah says only if she got married to a second guy and the second guy divorced her or died, she cannot go back to. Why? The Torah says, after she became defiled, we'll soon see what that means. It's an abomination by Hashem. You should not bring a sin on the earth that God gives you. Okay? Now, so the Torah says basically, once she marries somebody else, it's forbidden. But according to, if I'm not mistaken, I think in Aloha, if they do, the kid's not a mamzer, though. Yeah, it's only chayv love. Yeah, then the kid's not a mamzer. But they're not allowed to do it. They're not allowed to remarry the first guy. Now, usually, tomei means she committed adultery. But in this case, no sin took place. The fact is, as far as the first husband is concerned, is what the pasuk is saying. As far as the first pasuk is concerned, first husband is concerned, the Ramban explained, the fact that she married somebody else defiled her for the first husband. I mean, you could really say it's exeris hakasuv. This is what the Torah says. She cannot remarry the first husband. Okay, that's now. By the way, it's a lot of interesting dinim, that stam a few of them, that the Torah says, v'shilchom ibeso. You divorce her and you send her out. So the Gemara says, that excludes a person who you divorce, but they're a shaita, they keep coming back. It says you can't divorce a fool, a person, the woman that well, because when you divorce them, the Torah says you have to send them out, they have to understand they gotta get out and not come back. If they keep coming back, the Gemara said, huh?
Can I divorce, huh?
You can't get rid of it. You have a din of a, they have a din of a shaita, and therefore you can't divorce them. But there's now there's another interesting thing, by the way. Here the Torah says the Yotzei Mibeisa, from here the Gemara learns out that they can't even live in the same courtyard. In the olden times they had, you say, you know, the street and then a courtyard, like in Europe, right? In the courtyard and then a lot of houses in the courtyard. It says they're not allowed to live in the same courtyard. Because it has to be Vishulchem Mibeisa. He has to send her out completely.
Don't see her, huh?
Huh?
Nothing high. Close
in fact, there's a lot of dinam. I know there's a lot of complicated dinam in this. The very difficult dinam. That what happens if a man divorces his wife, and after the divorce they were intimate, it nullifies the get, and she needs to get another get.
Oh my God.
There's a lot of issues. That's the general rule. There's a lot of details and whatever, but that's the. Now, Rashi says, why does it say? She leaves, marries somebody else, and the second guy hates her. So Rashi quotes in the Halacha that the Torah, what does Rashi say? Hakasim Mevasrei, the Torah guarantees you that if you marry this other person, you're going to hate her or she's going to bury you. What are the two going to happen? You know, there's an interesting Gemara with Abayu, with Rava, with the whole thing that if a woman had three husbands that passed away, she shouldn't marry a fourth husband.
She shouldn't.
Because she has a chazaka of killing the husbands. I don't mean killing, literally.
They make a movie like this as well.
But not, there's a lot of exceptions to that din, by the way.
Because if his husband is suicidal, the fourth guy is suicidal, it's one.
So much rich spirit is rich man. How okay. often was rich man? Got so much money.
Okay, let's leave it at that. So this is the din. Basically, this is the whole source in Chumash of Kedushin and Gittin. That's it. These are all the psukim that all the dinim that you have a whole mesecht of Kedushin and a whole mesecht of Gittin is applied. But l'mashul, it says in pasuk aleph. The cost of law, say for Croesus. You have to write for her, right? Mm-hmm. That teaches us it has to be explicitly for her. You can't write a general get and just give it to your wife. It has to be written explicitly for her.
Right.
Not only that, the Gemara says, what happens if a guy has two wives, both have the same names, and their father's names are the same? As a guy marries Rachel Bas Avram and Rachel Bas Avram. Two wives with the same exact name. And he wants to divorce Rachel A. So he writes to get for Rachel A. And then he changes his mind. He says, you know what? Forget it. I'm keeping A. I'm divorcing B. So even though the get is exactly the same name, it's not kosher. It's not kosher get at all. Why? Because it has to be written explicitly for that woman and that man, and it's not the same woman. Even though her name is, it's your wife and it's the same name as it, it's not kosher.
I remember not to do that before.
Please don't do that. Now, some people say, even though this is a Xerxes Kosov, okay, but what's the logic? Okay, it's a pretty, you think people are bad today, they're bad then also. The Mefarshim point out, one of the reasons, who's he quote this from? From the Abarbanel. Abarbanel says the reason's like this. Because if a guy can divorce his wife, and she can marry somebody else, and then they get divorced, and she can go back to the first husband, everybody's going to do wife swapping. Right? The guys will think, okay, I'll divorce my wife. And you divorce your wife, and I'll marry your wife, and you'll marry your wife, and then we'll divorce back. Yeah. And then, they'll be able to get married again. Torah says, no, we don't want that fooling around going on. If you get married to somebody else, that's it. It's over. By the way, there's a lot of interesting questions, and people sometimes ask this question. It's a very interesting topic. If a person marries a woman, and the woman dies, or a woman marries a man, the man dies, and the second marriages. Okay? Who are you buried next to?
Who you will be buried
next to? Yeah, I'm saying they didn't kill you yet. When they kill you, are you buried next to the first wife? Are you buried next to the second wife? You know what? These are very practical, a lot practical today in today's world. The questions with this. Can a husband, it's a very interesting show, by the way. I'm using it, it works both ways. Can a husband who now has a second wife, can he visit his first wife's grave? Or can a wife who's married to a second husband, can she go to the first husband's grave? There's a lot of issues with that. Who's going to, or by Tchias HaMeisim, what's going to be. So it's interesting. Normally in halacha, again, this general guidelines. Normally in halacha, the din is that once you remarry, the relationship with the first spouse, either way, it doesn't matter, is over. No, but relax. The relationship with the first spouse is over, but
they cannot see each other again.
No, I'm saying halachically it's over. But what happens if there are children from the first wife and not children from the second wife? So then they're still bound to the first wife anyway because of the children. So there's a lot of issues. But these issues are pretty common, by the way. The questions in Allah are common because very practical.
And if
people get married a second time, not by a get, I'm saying where they hate the guy officially. So I'm saying even, you know, somebody becomes a widow or widower and they remarry, which happens, should happen. And I'm not that become widows, but if it happens. So now the shaila is, what's the, who's the connection to?
Commitment, or they bought two lots together, and one of them
passed away. There's a lot of issues with that.
What about if her husband died and she married another person? She still can go to visit the grave and do any of those.
That's what I said. These are questions that come up. Without the husband's permission, for sure not. That's the halacha. Because I told you once, the
cut
person.
It. Cut it. Yeah, to cut.
I also mentioned, I think I mentioned this about Eliyahu Navi's wife. We did mention this, right? If Mrs. Eliyahu Navi could remarry,
right.
Or Mrs. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, we did speak about it.
Yeah.
Because they didn't die. Yeah. They went up to heaven. So the question is, are they dead? Are they not dead? Are they alive? Is that called Misa? Is it not Misa? It's a whole question of Allah. The bottom line is most people pass when they could remarry. Because the question is, get we know. The act of get, giving the get, by the way, is what breaks the relationship. Now, it says if a person dies, the wife can also remarry. Or the husband can remarry, either one, right? They died, the spouse can remarry. So the question is, why can they remarry after death? Because nothing was done. By get, the guy gave his wife a get, and that action broke it. Just in Kedushin, the action brings them together, so the action of a get breaks them, separates them. But now the question, the guy died, or she died, so, like, what happened? Nothing happened. So, is she allowed to remarry or not? So, Dur says she could.
Yeah.
But the question is, why can she remarry? And there's two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is, the wife can remarry because the act of dying permits her. Just like the action giving a get permits her, the action of dying, which is an action by the way, we should know of it, but it's an action, is the action that permits her to remarry. Or do we say no, that's not why death permits her. The reason why death permits her to remarry is because there's no husband. It says, Ten Commandments.
Coming back is what you said.
Last no, one second, but you can't. It says Eishes Riacha, right? You can't marry the wife of your friend. But if there's no friend, because he's not here and he's not coming back, so then maybe that's the reason why she could remarry. And that's the difference. If you're Yeshua ben Levi or Leon Navi's wife, Yeshua ben Levi also went alive to Gan Eden. The question is, can Eliyahu Navi's wife remarry because he's not here and he's not coming back? But he didn't die, so he didn't do an act of death. If the act of death is what permits her to remarry, he didn't die, so she would remain in a guna. So that's the question.
Can a woman, are there circumstances that the woman can refuse to get divorced?
Nowadays she could, until in the time of the Gemara, biblically, in the time of the Gemara, Torah Rabbeinu Gershom, a man was able to divorce his wife against her will.
So Rabbeinu Gershom did two things. One, that he cannot, man cannot marry.
He did a lot of things, but two about these issues. Yeah.
I see. So he cannot divorce her against her will.
Correct. In the time of the Gemara, you're able to write a get, throw it at your wife.
Wow.
Sorry. I didn't write the laws. And I don't think a woman wrote the laws either.
Obvious.
Yeah, God's a white male Ashkenazi.
But you're repeating it?
Actually, no. I think in that case it was Sephardi.
No. So then, but nowadays it's not allowed. Rabbeinu Gershom acted it, and even by Sephardim they accepted
so what did
it.
What do they do, Rabbi, in those
And what happens if the wife refuses to accept the get?
Yeah.
So that's a problem. Look, we discussed it. That's the whole Aguna crisis that everybody's screaming about. No, nobody's doing anything about it.
Aguna, yeah.
But this Aguna is, if a man refuses to give his wife a get, she's an Aguna.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have to... In the time of the Gemara, they would beat him up. But if you do it today, you end up in jail.
So you have an expression of Agun, not Aguna, Agun?
Igun, but if igun, it's lush in the cave, it's Iguna.
So you have people that are Igun. The
wife, yeah, the man could also be Igun.
Right.
Yep. Okay. What?
The children of the first marriage.
What?
The children of the first marriage, yeah, of each one. They can marry to each other or not?
Can stepchildren marry each other?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's one opinion, the Gemara Seita says no, because people were mistaken for a brother and a sister. But the Gemara Paskins that they could, because everybody knows they're step-brothers, not the half-brothers. Half-brother, half-sisters, you can't. But stepchildren, halachically, they could.
They could.
I'm not saying it's a great idea, but I'm saying they halachically they could.
Nowadays.
You know the expression today, what people tell people is like this. In today's world, they tell, will you please tell your children to tell my children to stop fighting with our children? It's funny, but it's not a joke. The problem is funny, but it's not a joke. What?
Nowadays, if really a woman doesn't want to get divorced.
No.
The man can do anything.
No, so it doesn't work today.
So,
you have to work it out that he gets a get. I mean, that she agrees to get the get.
Thank God for that.
But like we said, what happens if the woman, let's say they're not religious, they had a kosher wedding, they're not religious, she's not getting a get, and she's fooling around. So she's an ashesish, right? Because they had a kosher chuppah, let's say. Then she became non-religious, let's say, whatever the scenario is, and she's refusing to take a get, and she's fooling around with other men. Now she's an ashesish, right? She's a married woman still. So many times in that case, Beis Din will write a get for her, in other words, like this. There's a din in the Torah, Zochen la'odom shlei b'fonav. You could do something good for somebody without him even knowing about it, but something detrimental, you cannot do only befanav, only in their face. In other words, I can buy something for you or pick up something for you on the street, and I can acquire it for you without even you knowing about it, because it's supposedly good, but the bad ones exist. So, Torah says like this, for this woman who's fooling around as an ashesish, is doing a terrible sin, is beneficial for her to have a get. Torah says, is beneficial for that woman to have a get, because she's fooling around. So what Beis Din many times will do, they'll write the get for the man, they'll have somebody acquire, but you need a big Beis Din, I mean, this is not everyday stuff. Somebody in Beis Din will acquire the get for the wife, because it's beneficial for her to have the get, and then the guy's divorced. But only if she's fooling around. Otherwise, it's not so simple. Unless they go and have to marry Rabbanim, but that's another complicated issue for itself. Okay, next pasuk. Pasuk, hey. Ki yikach ish isha chadasha. If a man will take a new wife. What do you mean? A new wife means it's new for him, even if she's a widow or a divorcee. But this excludes a guy who remarries his own divorcee. Then for him it's not a new wife. By the way, a kohen, if a guy's a kohen and divorces his wife, he cannot remarry her. Because he can't marry a grush even though it's his own divorcee. Okay. So the pasuk says like this, Ki yikach ish isha chadasha, and Rashi brings down from the Gemara, the obvious din, that it's only if she's new to him, even if it's a widow, or somebody else's divorcee, excluding he remarries his own divorcee. Le yete batzava, he should not go out into the army. He shouldn't work anything which is necessary for the army. Because even the army used to dig wells, and then he has to be completely, off the hook. He needs to be free for his house, meaning his wife, for a full year. The simach as ishtar shalokach, he has to make his wife happy. Okay? So in other words, what the Mefarshim explained over here is an interesting thing. You can only be happy if you're able to make others happy. The simach as ishtar, he has to be, make his wife happy, then he could be happy. But exceptions are like this, that a 1 year exception applies, and we're soon going to see other things about the new houses and new fields and all that. But a new wife, doesn't go to any obligations at all. In fact, it's another interesting halacha, by the way. Shulchan Aruch says it's called the Shana Rishayna Nix. Shana Rishayna, the first year of marriage, a husband's not allowed to leave the house. I don't mean to go out of town for the night, unless if his wife gives him permission. Unless if he's going to learn Torah, he could. Or even if it's business, the din is that he has to go without, if she gives him permission, you could, but otherwise, no. But she can give him permission. What?
Or they go together.
That's the only thing is good for the...
That's good for the marriage?
For men and for women.
This?
That's advantage. Only advantage I see it right now. It's for men.
The Gemara says, okay, this is for the women. I see you have a vibish in the Shema. The Gemara says you have to respect your wife more than you respect yourself. You have to take care of her more than you take care of yourself. All the good things. The Gemara says, the Gemara brings it down Shochner. The Gemara says,
you didn't hear what you said.
I'm sorry, yes, I did not.
He doesn't have to, he's not your husband.
No, please.
Your husband has to hear it, not him.
You have to respect your wife more than yourself.
Now you're excited.
How did you know that I should hear this?
Okay. The Gemara says, Rava said to the people of Mechuzah, he was the Rava of the city Mechuzah in Bavel, he said, Kabdu nesheseichem bishvil shetesashru. Honor your wives in order to get rich. Shein abrocha, this is the lashon of the Gemara in Altreb. Shein abrocha motzi bebeisei ela bezchus ishtei. The bracha in the house of Parnassus is only because of the wife.
After 30 years I learned it today. Now I know why I learned the
preach. Okay.
Now tonight is started.
It's never too late.
Never you lose the game.
Okay.
A woman, she tells him, I think I'll be happier if you go for this year away.
First of all, in the time of the Gemara, that's what they used to do, by the way. They used to get married and go away to learn for a year. Straight? In fact, the Gemara tells a story. Whose wedding was it? Rashbi's or one of Rashbi's kids? And the Chacham were there and they came to the wedding and they're going back. He says, no, wait for me. The Chassan said, wait for me, I'll go back with you. They said, no, you have to be home a few days, we can't wait. And they left. But it used to be that way, that you would go away for a year or two. But that was only with the wife's permission.
Not otherwise, like Rabbi Akiva, that he left 12 and then he came back and he wanted.
His wife sent him out.
His wife gave him permission.
Now she gave him permission. She said, I wish that he does that. But they had tremendous shalom bias those 24 years. He couldn't fight for 24 years. Can you imagine? Okay.
They had two kids.
Rabbi Kiva, I don't know, it's questionable. There's one opinion says that Rabbi Shob ben Karcha was his son. Then there's another Gemara that Rabbi Kiva had a son-in-law. One Gemara says a thing, Rabbi Kiva had a son-in-law, if I remember correctly, and according to some poskim, somebody said Rabbi Shob ben Karcha was the son of Rabbi Akiva. And why was he called Ben Karcha? Because Rabbi Kiva was bald. And karchas kereach is a baldy. So other rishonim write, how can you say that? Because there's no way they're going to make a derogatory statement about Rabbi Kiva to call him ben karcha. But according to certain opinion, he had another son. He had a few kids. He lived 120, Rabbi Kiva.
So he had them before he went to Yeshiva? Or from his second wife?
No second wife.
One he married wife. Divorce, he had that Geras.
Which Geras? He married Rachel, Kabbalah's daughter.
I know, but she got so I heard. And then the wife of that general became a Jew. And when she came in, he spat.
Could be. Something rings a bell, but I don't remember. I don't know. Okay. So he has to be completely free. Completely free means like this. Oh, by the way, one important Gemara, which I want you to know. It says like this. They asked the Talmud Chacham. Gemara says like this. V'mar arachta yamin. What did you do to live long? So he says, me'erlam lehikpid b'teich b'esi. You never got angry at home.
That's fact.
Now it's good. Now the religion's okay. The religion's okay
who
now.
Who asked to? Who was asking?
No, one of the chacham of the Gemara they asked. So em lehikpid b'teich b'esi, and whatever. He has to be nice. But if she's marichu, by the way, if you mechaz, he can even go out to business. But the mashal, the first year of marriage, you're not allowed to go out of town for business unless if your wife gives you permission.
That's any time.
Not dafka. No, for parnasi, you could not shon or rishani, you're allowed to go, even if they don't let. I mean, I'm not saying it's the best way to do it, but bottom line, if a guy has to go and his wife doesn't want him, up he's allowed to go.
Only first year, the second year.
The first year. Second year, that's it already. After the first anniversary, that's it. The whole thing is over.
Finish everything.
Well, what about the wife says, come home, let's say, 7, and says, look, I have a lot of work, stay home, he wants to stay in the office, because he has to listen to his wife? No, seriously, does halacha address that?
Halacha addresses every part of a person's life. The minute you wake up in the morning, until you go to sleep at night,
from
the second you're born until the second you die, and afterwards. Even how to bury you. He also talk in halacha. Okay, halacha encompasses the entire. Yes, there are halachas about that, but things have to be worked out and understood, and, you know, people need to understand, that's all. There are realities in life. That
some
people need
say
to
say that it's important to defer to the wife because she has a better insight about.
In certain issues, yeah. In certain issues, no. Like the major decisions, like who should run for president and all that, that she makes. Not important decisions, you know. The finances and all that.
Actually, they are the leaders.
Who?
The ladies, the wife.
The woman will tell you like this. You want me to treat you like a king? Treat me like a queen.
Yeah.
And it goes both ways. Right. You want to be treated like a queen? Treat him like a king.
The final decision will come from them.